Good morning, ladies. Oh, I'm so glad so many of you made it out here on this brisk, rainy day. We haven't had rain for quite some time, so it is welcomed, but yet, you know, we're not used to it, so we drive slower, and, you know, obviously there's more car accidents when it's raining, so I'm glad that you all made it here safely. We're actually headed up to the mountains after I'm done here. John and I are teaching this weekend at a youth camp, so you can pray for us. I'm excited. I jump at the opportunity to impart anything to young girls. Whenever I have the opportunity, I grab it. Because you never know when you get too old to be able to, you know, be asked to go minister to this group, you know, high school. And I just love high school. I was thinking this week as I was preparing this message and that one for tomorrow that, you know, I wish somebody would have told me when I was in high school certain things that I'm going to tell these gals about the importance of their spiritual life. And then, of course, we talk about, well, my message is one thing, and the one thing that really set my husband apart from any other man that I ever met, that's what I get to talk on. So I love that because it's near and dear to my heart. We have a great testimony, a great story, and so it's a real attention grabber in the beginning when I share with them that we knew each other for 19 days before we got engaged, and they're... What? And then I get to elaborate on that. And so it's such a blessing. But I appreciate your prayers because, you know, there's always warfare when you're going to make an impact, hopefully, on people's lives. So we've experienced plenty of it this week. So let's go ahead and just pray and just lay our time before the Lord. And then tomorrow as well. John teaches twice tomorrow. Pray for him. And then he has to come back and teach here. So he's preparing like 5 messages in one day. I don't know how he does it because I can barely do 2 in 1 week. So let's pray for him as well. Lord, we do come before you now, and we ask, God, that you would, first of all, just cleanse us, Lord, from anything that we may be brought here, any burdens or heaviness, God, or just being flustered and trying to get someplace. And Lord, so we ask that you would just take all that from us, God, right now, that we would be able to kind of just rest in your arms this morning, that you would fill us with your joy and your peace, God, and give us understanding today into your scriptures, God. We ask that your spirit would be here and that your spirit would teach us, rule and reign over us now, and would anoint your servant, God. And we ask for a special blessing upon John as he's preparing, he's teaching right now, 3 times tomorrow and 3 times on Sunday. So, Lord, just would you give him all that he stands in need of and everything that he needs, God, you are. And so I pray that you would anoint him, that you would give him a special message for these kids up at the camp tomorrow and fill him afresh and anew with these messages that you're going to lay on his heart. And for me too, I'll take a little of that, Lord, if you could just bless me as well. I'm up there with these girls just investing and pouring into the next generation, God. So, Lord, we thank you for these gals that are here, and we pray that you would now impart to us what you would have us to hear and learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this week and next week. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit today, so this is a great day for you to be here in case you are not clear about the gifts of the Spirit. And did you get a handout? You did. So we actually gave you a handout of all the different gifts. And the description of the gift, the application of the gift, and drawbacks of the gift. And there was something else, I don't have it in front of me, but it has been such a helpful tool that I have given out multiple times to different people when they are inquiring about the gifts and what exactly is it? Could you describe it to me? And so I hand this handout to them that we put together last year, and Anita, she did that for you ladies. Anita, you're here. Here she is. So she did that last year as we were in Romans 12, going over the gifts. And here we are again in 1 Corinthians. Paul's describing the gifts this week, and we'll break it up and part of them next week. So what we don't cover this week, we will next week as well. But what we've learned so far, several things, haven't we, in our first 12 or first 11 chapters? We've learned that this church of Corinth was gifted, but they were ignorant, Paul says today, that they were ignorant of their gifts, meaning they were not taught. They were not informed. And this is what we are seeking to do today. We do not want you to be ignorant any longer of the gifts, because several things happen when you're ignorant, right? One, you can abuse the gifts, or two, you won't use the gifts that God has given you. So today, we want to do several things. We want to encourage you to use your gifts. We want to inform you in those gifts and encourage you to pray if you don't even know what your gifts are, to seek the Lord and that he might reveal to you by his Holy Spirit what your giftings are. Well, as I said, we've learned a lot in these last 11 weeks together, but a couple things we've learned about this particular church is that they erred in many ways. We learned last week that they made a big deal, or they divided the church over little things like head coverings and haircuts. We learned last week, didn't we? They were very insignificant things. We also learned that they divided over more significant things like communion and condemning others. And this week, we're going to see how they erred in yet another way. And Paul really hits on one particular thing this week that I picked up on, and you probably did too, and that is really unity in the church. In fact, I've entitled the message today, "The Price of Unity," because there really is a price to unity. A lot of times it takes death, right? Dying to ourselves, that we might have unity in the body of Christ. We might learn to get along with others, love others, that we might learn to use our gifts in the appropriate manner. But here, the Church of Corinth erred in so many ways that they created this dissension and this lack or disunity in the body of Christ. And unity is simply the state of being united or joined as a whole. So if we think of the body of Christ, unity really talks about the whole body being joined together as a whole and not there to be fragments or, like we learned last week, cliques, that sort of thing. But to have the unity of the body of Christ is such an amazing, beautiful thing. Well, this week, Paul continues now, as I said, to instruct the church in specifically the unity of the body, but he really pinpoints the unity in another area now. It's the gifts of the Spirit specifically. So he takes the unity in those other areas that we discussed last week and the week before, and now he really pinpoints one area that caused a lot of confusion in the body, and that is, of course, the gifts of the Spirit, which can be confusing if you're not informed, as he says today. So using these first 13 verses of chapter 12, our Bible study today, we will look at three key exhortations in those first 13 verses. First, we'll see in these verses that Paul exhorts or encourages the body not, as I said, to be ignorant, meaning lacking information in regards to these gifts. Second, he exhorts them to maintain unity in the body while exercising these gifts. So don't be ignorant of them. Now let's maintain unity while we use them. And third, he exhorts them in the various gifts, the diversity. There's many of them. So to understand this chapter completely and thoroughly, we need to know that when Paul uses the term body, now, I'm assuming that you know this, but I'm going to review just in case. He's not necessarily referring to our literal body, but he's referring to the church body. And he refers to himself like the body of Christ, the church. It's very simple, but yet so profound, isn't it? Represents Jesus' body. So we, the body of Christ, represent Jesus, the body, his body. We are, right? Because Jesus lives where? In us. So we are the body of Christ. But what Paul's saying now, let's work together. Let's work together and really fulfill the Great Commission by using our spiritual gifts together. Warren Wiersbe said, one of the marks of an individual's maturity is how they have a growing understanding and appreciation for their own body. Now, our own physical body, that could mean two things. We have an appreciation for our body because it's magnificent. I mean, how God created it. And we take care of our own body, don't we? We seek to nourish our body physically and spiritually. But also here, he says, we have a growing appreciation for the body of Christ. We appreciate each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up. We applaud each other when the Lord does something great and uses our gifts, that sort of thing. Well, this also, though, does not paralyze. We do not want that. That would be bad, wouldn't it? It parallels the spiritual life. As mature believers, we gain understanding. We gain this understanding of the church body and the diversity of how different we really are. It's like your own children. You know, those of us who have more than one child, we know that they're from the same biological mom and dad, if they are, but yet they can be so different in their personality, in how they look. Most people look at our family and say, all of your kids look so different. And I don't think so. I see the similarities in all of my kids, but they do look a lot different, where some of your kids may look a lot alike. But even if they do look a lot alike, still they have the diversity of their characteristics that God's given them, their traits. And we all function differently. It's like the body, physical body. The nose can't do what the hand does, and the eye can't do what the ear does. You understand, right? So as a physical body functions differently, so the body of Christ is all unique, and it's a well-oiled machine when it comes together and does what it's supposed to do to perform its functions. Let's take a look. Verse 1 through 3 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So Paul's making a point here that before these Corinthians were saved, let's remember where you came from. You were consumed with idolatry. You worshiped dead idols, statues that couldn't speak, couldn't move, couldn't save you. And he encourages them, do not be ignorant of this fact, that you were created by God, yet let's not go backwards. And I think sometimes we can do that. When we're seeking the Lord and say he gives us various gifts, we can tend to go backwards. And what I mean by that is we can allow these drawbacks on your paper to come into play. And most of these drawbacks on the handout that you got have to do with predominantly one thing, and it's pride. And so we know, just as the devil tempted Eve in the garden, that he comes in and he seeks to draw us away as well by certain things. And even in something good, even in using your gift in the church, you can become prideful, or there can be drawbacks. And we're going to discuss those a little bit later. Because the church here in Corinth, and I would say the church today, is not informed on the correct use of the gifts, they are misused and abused, right? Instead of being responsible adults, the gifts are often used like a child's toy instead. Once we're informed, meaning you're no longer ignorant, the problem is that not many are given, though, the right information. So this day and age, you probably, if I asked for a show of hands across this room alone, how many of you have ever seen any of these gifts operated or exercised in the incorrect way? I imagine we probably all would raise our hand. Because we've seen that. Why? Because they're ignorant. They have not been taught correctly from the Word of God the correct use of the spiritual gifts. Therefore, they're left to interpret the meaning on their own. And then you get these crazy, aberrant things and abuses of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I was introduced, I'm just going to share this little story with you because you probably have a similar story. When I was introduced to the gift of tongues, it was, I was not explained to me what it was. A well-meaning girlfriend of mine said, asked me if I wanted the gift of tongues. And of course, I'm like, yeah, give it to me, you know. And so she prayed over me and just said, okay, now start moving your lips and making noise, is what she said to me. And I was like, what? And I'm very simple-minded, but I was like, this sounds a little weird to me. And so she was like, you can do it. And it was like she was trying to force me or train me, and I didn't speak in tongues. And the result, the bummer about this was several things. One, I thought, ooh, am I really saved? You know, like, is something wrong with me because I didn't? Two, was a little freaked out. And three, I did not seek that gift for years because nobody explained it to me. So you may have a similar story that you, you know, were introduced to the gift of tongues or any other gift for that matter in an incorrect, ignorant way. And so you've shied away from it for years. And I would say regarding the gift of tongues, it's beautiful, amazing, a powerful gift that everybody should seek out on your own. Not somebody that's pressuring you and you feel sort of scared. And what is this? And this is weird. So we don't want that. But I'm going to go into greater detail in chapter 14 on the gift of tongues because it's all about the gift of tongues. But what I can tell you for certain right now, and I will elaborate just a little bit later, in case you've always wondered, is a gift of tongues is a gift that can be controlled. In fact, all the gifts of spirit can be controlled. Never should we ever see anybody exercising a gift that is not under control. The person can control the gift. So when you're out of control and it's like, what is going on? That is not the Holy Spirit. In fact, we read in Galatians that the gift of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit, the very last fruit listed out of the nine, is self-control. So if you're really functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have self-control. By the way, of just quick review right now, the gift of tongues, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, is speaking in a language that is not understood or is foreign to the speaker. So it's a gift that's to be used for praising God, for bringing glory to God. It's a personal prayer language that God gives you in a language that you don't understand, that others may be able to interpret, but you don't understand it. And God gives it to you for one reason alone, and that is to glorify Him and praise Him. So oftentimes, this gift will be exercised in your own personal prayer time with the Lord, in your own personal intercession time with the Lord, or even maybe for me, in a group where I'm interceding in a deep time of intercession, the Lord will give me a tongue, but it's not something that I speak out loud. It's just something that the Lord ministers to me and that I, you know, that I don't know how to describe it. You know what I'm talking about, those of you who have been there. But what I do want to say about the gift is that it is one worth seeking out. In fact, we're encouraged to seek this gift because it's the only gift that is primarily used for you and the Lord. It's personal. It's a personal gift between you and Jesus. And it is sweet, and it is beautiful, and it is a powerful gift. But I would encourage you to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I would like that personal prayer language. That sounds really neat. That sounds really awesome. And you know what? The Lord will. In faith, the Lord will give you that personal language between you and Him that only maybe He understands, or that maybe, and we'll look at this in a moment, the interpretation of tongues and what that looks like. But I will say it is a beautiful gift, and it is one that we should all desire. I personally believe that the Lord will grant it to anybody who asked, and I would like to function in that gift more so than I do. It does take time to sit and be before the Lord and to enter into that time, that presence. You're in the presence of God, and it's just very, very sweet. So I'll come back to tongues in a moment, but moving on, the second exhortation. So first, he says, do not be ignorant. Second, he says, you need to have unity in the body of Christ. So you're no longer ignorant. Paul seeks to regain this unity that was lost by now the misuse of the gifts. He emphasizes the oneness in the church three times in verses 4 and 6. Let's take a look. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. The word same is used three times here, and it means identical. What does this tell us? Identical. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is that called? The Trinity. Right here, we see the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together in the giving and the using of the gifts of the Spirit. This is amazing to me, and it's something really I never considered until this time. As I read this passage this week over and over again, I noticed that the Holy Spirit's job seems to be that of manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord's job seems to be that of controlling and being glorified through our gifts, and God's job seems to be that He is working in them. He's working in those gifts, and He's magnified. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in the giving and the administration of those gifts. We often think it's just the Holy Spirit, don't we? But how sweet when we can see that God works in that, and He's magnified. Jesus is the one who is glorified, and the Holy Spirit is the one who manifests those gifts to us. Right there, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, in even just giving and working in the use of our gifts. Marvelous, isn't it? The Holy Spirit manifests His gifts through the church in different ways, by giving the church different gifts. As I said, the eye can't do what the nose can do, and the ear can't do what the hand can do. We all function in different gifts, and they're all, as I said, function together, should function together like a well-oiled machine. Just as the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in the church through the gifts of the Spirit, now second, the Lord Jesus is the one who we are subject to when we use our gifts. Verse 5 says, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Meaning that when we use our gifts, we are not to seek to draw attention to ourselves, are we? We are to seek to draw attention and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our intent in using our gifts. It's worth noting that mature believers always are in control of the Holy Spirit, meaning that you're not out of control and you're not drawing attention to yourselves. It, as I said before, you are to seek to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and to use your gifts maturely and within reason and decently and in order, as the scripture says. If someone is out of control, as I said, and they're ranting and raving or doing something, you know, in the name of the Lord, it's a good indication that they're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, that they might be under the control of someone else, which is a little scary to consider. But we need to consider that. Paul's going to elaborate more in the next chapters, but in chapter 14, he says that God is not the author of confusion. So if we ever get to the point where we think, I'm kind of confused, nope, that's not God. Who is it? I mean, it's the other. If it's not God, it's the enemy. You know, it's the devil. It's Satan. So we need to make sure that we're never confused about this, that we are understanding. And you know, a good place to go is to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand. Can you bring me clarity? Or, you know, ask your pastor or seek the Lord. But the Lord is good to bring clarity when we're not understanding, we're confused. And again, if the gifts are not in operation correctly and there is confusion, it's a good idea of where that's coming from. Also, we are to seek unity with our gifts. Anytime there's division within the administration of the gifts of the Spirit, it weakens not only your personal testimony, but it weakens the church as well. When someone's exercising their gift, it should do three things. We should know when the gifts are being exercised, they should be doing it with control, in unity, and not division. If there's division, it's a good idea that something is wrong. And then also to bring glory to the Lord and not to draw attention to oneself. So these are just really good rules of thumb when you're seeking this out, if you're in a congregation or a group of people, just a rule of thumb to say, you know, I want to make sure that these are being operated incorrectly. And is it in control? Is there unity and not division or arguing about it? And is the Lord being glorified? So as the Holy Spirit has manifested himself through the gifts, the Lord is being glorified through the use of these gifts. The third part of the Trinity comes in now. God the Father is then magnified through the working in these gifts through our lives. Paul would say in Philippians 2:3, "For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Verse 6 says there are diversities of activity, but God who works in them all, God's the one behind it. He's the one who gives us any gift we have, whether it be a gift of the Spirit or any other ability. God is the one who gave it to us. He is the one that should be glorified through it. While some are called to teach, others are called to pray. Everybody has their place in the body of Christ. One gift is not magnified above and beyond another one just because it's seen. So what I'm trying to say here is, if you have a gift that isn't seen, it doesn't mean that it's any less than somebody who stands and teaches, that because God has a purpose and he is orchestrated and gifted you with the gift, maybe, let's say, of intercession, which is an amazing, amazing gift, and that many, the church needs for sure. And so that is a key role in the church. Now, the source of each gift is God, and the sphere from administering the gifts is God, and the energy that we have to even do what we do is from God. Therefore, why do we try to receive the glory ourselves? I have no idea. All I do know is that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so if we remain humble, God will use us. That's the key. Humility and usability. There's the key together. But of course, as I said, the temptation as we exercise any of our gifts is to be puffed up. It's very natural. We read of many people in the Bible who this happened again and again, and we need to be careful. Again, humility is the key here. Finally, we see that Paul lists some of the gifts now. We're going to spend the remainder of our time. I'm going to go through 9 of the gifts this morning, and I'm going to seek to explain them to you as well as I can. I would, at this point, I'd be looking at your handout. Did anybody not get one? Okay, ladies, can we grab those? Thank you. And just keep your hand up so you can follow along with me. Paul says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to the other the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right. So on your paper, if you don't have one, raise your hand. Everybody has one now? Okay, good. So on your paper, as I was saying before, there we have divided it into the description of the gift, the application of the gift, and something else, and then the drawback of the gift. Results, thank you, and the drawback of the gift. So this is really helpful when you seek to use your gift. This helped me a lot because I see that when I function in certain gifts that I have a tendency to become frustrated with certain gifts. For instance, I'll share with you one of my gifts is the gift of prophecy. So I'm foretelling the word of God. But one of the drawbacks of that gift of telling the truth is I become frustrated when somebody doesn't believe the truth. You know, and so these are certain things. When you look at your gifts, if you know what they are, then you can see your tendency maybe, yeah, I could see I do become frustrated if people don't respond to the gospel. You want to shake them. What do you mean? Can't you see the truth? That sort of thing. So it's helpful for me to be more patient and seek the Lord when I see the drawback for me personally. All right. First, the word of wisdom. We're going to go right in order here as Paul lists it. This gift is supernaturally given to answer a question or solve a problem. It's the ability to use the word of God wisely so that you will edify people and build them up instead of drive them away. I had this gift in operation this morning. I had somebody from Tennessee text me out of the blue this huge long text this morning, and it was a word for me, and it was a word of wisdom. Functioning together with a word of knowledge, which I'm going to tell you about together. The two gifts often go hand in hand. So just this morning, I was a recipient of this gift, and I was blessed, and I was edified by this. The person with this gift has insight into situations that they are not privy to. So the Holy Spirit gives you, places on your heart something for someone else. Earlier this week, again, this gift in operation. I had a girl that I haven't talked to, a pastor's wife in years, text me and say, "You are heavy on my heart. I could not stop praying for you all day long." And she told me what she prayed for. She doesn't know what's going on this week in my week, but the Lord does. And he placed it on someone else's heart to intercede for me for an entire day that had no idea what I was going through. So again, the gift of the word of wisdom. She didn't know what was going on, but the Holy Spirit didn't. He placed something on her heart. I love that the Holy Spirit does that. The person with the gift of the word of wisdom, they are able to exercise sound judgment and apply biblical knowledge to solve problems or answer questions. Sort of like godly problem solving. We had a situation one time where we had some personal friends of ours that were having some marital problems. This was years ago. And John was praying for them, and he really felt as though God gave him a word. And the word wasn't good. It was insight into their situation, and it was unfortunately devastating to their marriage. He was unfaithful to his wife, and we had no idea, but the Holy Spirit showed John. And so he went and confronted our friend, and that's exactly what it was. And unfortunately, they're not married today, and it was devastating. So it can be used, you know, both ways. Like the Lord can give that to you in a time where you need to actually confront somebody as to draw them back to the Lord. And there's other times where a word is given to encourage you and to let you know that, yes, the Lord is here and he does hear your prayers. Second, the gift of word of knowledge now goes hand in hand with the gift of the word of wisdom. This gift is given to those that earnestly study the word of God in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But one might have the gift of knowledge and lack the ability to use it correctly. Therefore, they need the gift of wisdom with the gift of knowledge to correctly use it. Basically, the person with the gift of knowledge is somebody who studies the word of God, who knows the word of God, and this gift is manifested in the sharing of the word of God and the teaching of the word of God. The drawback, though, to this gift is the potential of being puffed up, being overbearing, being insensitive to others. And the last thing that I want to say about this gift is that it's available to all of us. Because I firmly believe that if you are diligent in studying the scriptures, this gift comes with that. This gift comes with seeking to study the word of God diligently. I would have never said that I had the gift of knowledge until recently, where I have dedicated my life to studying the scriptures. And so I see that the more you study the word of God, the more this gift is in operation in your life. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, "My son, if you receive my word and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, imply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. That is what is available to us if we seek her out and search for her like silver. This should encourage all of us to be in the Word of God more than we ever have been in our entire life. We desperately need this gift, don't we? We need knowledge. We need wisdom. We need discernment in this day and age in which we live. Next, we have the gift of faith. I love being around people with this gift. They are so contagious. A person with a gift of faith has a special faith for a special time, for a special service. This is not speaking of faith that we have when we come to know the Lord through salvation. This is an extra measure of faith that God gives a person for a time that they may function in that. George Mueller had this gift. We read about his life in utter amazement, and we see as he trusted over his lifetime for the Lord to provide. The Lord provided, without George Mueller ever asking for a penny, the Lord provided him with $6 million. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his life. He opened up 117 schools, putting over 120,000 kids through school. Without ever asking for a penny, God provided. Hudson Taylor, another one, the missionary to China, also had this gift. He served God with amazing faith in China. He helped bring over 800 missionaries to the country. He began 125 schools and directly resulted in 18,000 Christian conversions, as well as establishment of more than 300 stations of work in China, more than 500 local helpers in all 18 provinces of China. This man affected a country, a nation, never asking for a penny. The gift of faith comes when we trust for God's provision. I guess Chuck was right. Where God guides, he does provide, right? I believe that John and I have many, many times functioned in this gift. If we have trusted the Lord to provide something as simple as meat for our family when we didn't have money. We trusted God to provide a home when we moved 3,000 miles away with no place to live, no job, no church, just to plant Calvary Chapel, Brandon, Florida. I mean, who gives you that kind of faith? People think you're cuckoo. Are you kidding? You're taking two babies and you're moving 3,000 miles away from everybody that you know to plant a church? Are you crazy? My mom said, "You're crazy. There's alligators and tornadoes and hurricanes," and she went on at all the terrible things about Florida. which is true. There are those things, but there's earthquakes and everything else here too. And 10 years later, when the Lord called us to move back to California, she was with someone to say, "Are you crazy? You stay there. There's earthquakes and everything." I go, "Wait a second. You're the same person that 10 years ago told us not to go. Now you're telling us not to come back." So it's just funny. We laugh about it now. But where God guides, He provides. And when we are exercising this gift, it is amazing to watch the provision of God. The drawback of this gift, though, is that you can easily become discouraged by the enemy, and you can become critical of those who doubt God. Trust God! What do you mean? How come you're doubting God? As a person who has the gift of faith, we can't understand why anybody would ever doubt God. Trust Him. I always tell my kids, be an optimist. Stop being a pessimist. God has good plans for you. God will provide. And I'm the cheerleader. You know, I'm a cheerleader in my home. I'm a cheerleader here at church, you know. Just Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano, right? Lauren, I got another cheerleader out there. So, like, we are here to cheer you on. You can do it. But the drawback to the gift of faith is that we often become discouraged when people don't, they doubt God. And, hey, just trust God like it's something easy to do. It's not often easy to trust God. It's often hard, isn't it? Well, the next Paul lists the gift of healing. This is the ability to lay hands on someone upon the sick in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call them back to life or call them back to health. Here at Calvary Chapel, we believe that this gift, as well the gift of tongues and miracles, are still in operation today. And I do say they are still in operation today because many believe that they are not in operation today. And I tell you because I've experienced it personally. And so when you've experienced that personally, you can't help but know that it's real, right? I personally, though, do believe that this gift, as well as those others that I just mentioned, are seen much more frequently in other countries where they are being persecuted for their faith, right? Where they are imprisoned, where they are desperate. We aren't desperate. I hate to say it. We aren't desperate like they are desperate. For food, for water, for clothing, for survival. And so we happen to see in those countries these particular gifts in operation more frequently. And those of you who have traveled around probably can attest to that as well, where you've seen it there. In fact, when John was in India this past year, he was in India doing a conference there, and he got really sick, and he got a really bad stomach virus there. And he taught, I don't know, something like 7 times while he was there. And he was supposed to have his last teaching in India and then get on a plane for 14 hours on his way home. And he couldn't stand. He could not get out of bed. So they called one of the Indian pastors to him. And the pastor put one hand on John's stomach and the other hand on John's back. And he prayed in their dialect. And John didn't understand what he said. And John said, he, at one point in his prayer, he pressed his hands together, his on John's stomach and his back, and he pressed them together. And right when he pressed them together, it was gone. He taught, he just went, he taught, got on a plane for 14 hours. It was completely, immediately gone. How did it happen? I don't know. A man came who obviously had this gift. He prayed for John. In his dialect, John didn't even understand what the man was saying, and God honored it, and he healed John that he could serve the Lord and he could get home. So, do I believe this gift is still in operation? Absolutely. Absolutely, it is in operation. Next, we have the gift of miracles, which is simply the ability to perform works of power again. This, too, is seen more often, as I said, in other countries, where the people are desperate for God to do something. In the jungles, the inner city and such. So sad that we can't say that we are desperate to see miracles. I mean, we say we are, but my question is, why isn't God doing it more then? Is there sin? I don't know. But we want God to do miracles. I mean, I'm praying for God to release Saeed from prison, you know. So I'm praying that He is the same God of Peter and Paul and Silas and all those other guys that were released from prison, right? Same God, same power. He can do it. here as well. So we're praying for God to do a miracle and release our sweet pastor friend from that jail in Iran. But God is doing amazing work through that man and through his wife right now. In fact, his wife, Nagme, is going to be speaking at our summer event this summer. So you will not want to miss that. She'll be here August 2nd. Mark it. It's called Crowned, out of the book of Esther, for such a time as this. So we are thrilled. We probably won't be able to hold it here because it's going to be huge. So we're very excited. Again, faith in operation. Lord, do it. So, but we're excited to have her come and share what God's doing through her life. I mean, God's doing amazing things with him and her. Both. She spoke to the United Nations several times. I mean, it's amazing to see what God's doing. So we're thrilled to have her be with us this summer in August. Now, the drawback to the gift of miracles is that when a miracle is performed, you really got to quickly give that glory to the Lord, don't you? Because lest you think that you had any part in that miracle. So again, it's pride that the enemy loves to allow to enter our lives. Next is a gift of prophecy. Now, this gift is not foretelling the future. It is forthtelling the future, meaning it's forthtelling the word of God. It's bringing forth the word of God. It's sharing the word of God. And it doesn't have to be from a platform. You don't have to be teaching the word of God to be exercising the gift of prophecy. It's just telling. It's forth telling the word of God. Basically, it's sharing the word of God to bring encouragement, to comfort others, to bring edification to believers, or to bring warning to non-believers. A person with a gift of prophecy has the burden to warn of God's judgment, to share the need for repentance, and to share the hope of heaven. The drawback to this gift is the potential to become judgmental or negative towards people who do not respond to the word of God. As I said before, that it can become frustrating when you are trying to reason with people and share with them. John has a great rule of thumb that he shared with me years ago, and I think of it often, and I'll share it with you. He said to me, love them when you see them and pray for them when you don't. And it's good for me to remember that because, you know, when this gift is in operation and you're really sharing with somebody about the word, let's say a family member or a husband or a child or a friend or anybody, a neighbor, and you're praying for them and you're interceding and you're doing your job and they are just resisting, it can become frustrating, can it? And we can go the opposite way and become negative. That's what we don't want to do when this gift is in operation. We do not want the enemy to come in and allow us to become negative or frustrated. We need to trust that it is the Spirit of God who woos the person to Jesus. It is Jesus who saves. And we basically don't have any part of that. The Spirit woos, Jesus saves. We're just the vessel that God uses to share the word of God. So we sort of need to step back once the word is shared, and we need to trust the Lord that his Spirit is going to take over and woo that person just like he did us, and draw that person just like he did us, and save that person just like he did us. Now we're almost done here. There's a couple more. Next is the discerning of the gifts of the Spirit. This gift is the ability to see through people. You know, have you ever felt that way before where you just, I don't know, I'm not sure about this person? That's discernment. That's discerning of spirits. That's, I just don't feel good about this or a person. And I'm sure you can all say that you felt that at one time or another. I know I have. But it's really listening, those checks of the Spirit, like, I don't know, red flags, whatever you want to call them, those feelings like someone's not telling you the truth, whether it's your child or your husband or someone else, the mechanic, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, those people that you're like, I don't know, do I really need all that done to my car? that type of thing. You know, I depend upon discerning of spirits, and I'll say, no, I think I'm good, you know, or whatever. Or sometimes I'll go, you know what? I think I do need to have that done. I came in for an oil change, and, you know, $600 later, you're like, okay, let's leave. But I think this is a very practical gift that we need on a daily basis, don't we? We really need it for dealing with just people, let alone discerning anything else. This gift of discerning of spirits isn't to be used in that we're overcritical about anybody we meet. We want to be loving, exercising this gift, and not critical over everybody. Rather, it's discerning and with the absence of judgment. So we can use that discernment and we can put, you know, any critical spirit on the side as we use that discernment, because it's coming from the Lord, right? And he's not critical or judgmental, so we should trust him in that gift. So we are not to judge other people, but we are to use this gift from God to allow us to really look inside a person or a situation and to see what the intention is. It's the ability to read between the lines and to see what the real truth is. Now, John uses this gift a lot. I mean, we all do, but he deals with a lot of people every day. So if you're in a line of work where you deal with a lot of people and situations on a daily basis, I would say you really are depending upon this gift. With everybody you meet, are you telling me what's correct? I mean, during counseling, could you imagine how you have to really hang on to this gift? For him. So he definitely functions in that. Now, the drawback to this gift, of course, is that you're always right. Is anybody? Yeah. Okay. Am I alone? Okay. So you're always right in this gift because you've discerned this, so you must be right. Well, that's a drawback with this gift, because there may be times where we're not always right, and I've been wrong before, you know? I mean, regarding my judgment, sizing somebody up, I don't know, and I've been wrong before, and I haven't discerned correctly, but I do trust this gift for sure, and we don't want to become prideful in thinking that we can never be wrong and that we're always right. The next gift is tongues, which I've already covered a little bit, and I will cover in greater extent in the next few weeks, but it's the ability to speak in a language that is not understood by the speaker, as I said. I believe that this gift is very simple, but extremely profound. So simple that the new believer can function in it, and yet so profound that the sharpest minds do not understand it, nor can they exercise it. I am going to say that as I was reading some very sharp commentators this week, could not believe how many of them have never exercised this gift. I was shocked. I thought, are you kidding? Wow. What they're missing out on. This is the most beautiful gift, but as I said, it's so simple that the sharpest minds often can't receive this gift. Because what happens if you do have this gift is you begin to think like, oh, that was just me speaking. That was me. And then you don't discern what is the Holy Spirit, what is God, and what is you. And oftentimes with this gift, I think faith comes in too. You have to trust that God is speaking to you and giving you a language, a tongue that you don't understand. And it's not just mumbo jumbo. And the key, I would think, is that you're bringing him glory, and you feel closer to Jesus when you're uttering this tongue. I mean, I do. Immediately. I mean, I don't think anything can take me to the presence of God faster than uttering a tongue. I mean, it's just like, boom, you're there within seconds. Because it's this special way that he has communicating, I can't describe it, with his spirit that lives inside of you. It's magnificent. It really is beautiful and marvelous and a gift. Can you tell I'm trying to encourage you? A gift that we all should seek and seek it diligently And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's very, very sweet and beautiful. Simple, yet so simple that the sharpest people often can't receive this gift because they don't they're trying to understand it, and you can't understand it. As I said, I myself would love to grow in this gift. But the drawback of this gift, as I stated before, is that it can be easily abused, which many of us probably have seen before. And it needs to be done decently in the church and orderly manner. And lastly is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Now, this basically is interpreting the tongue. It's making the language that one has never learned understandable to the one who's speaking it. So the interpreter must do so in a corporate setting. And I have seen this gift also exercised. I have seen tongues spoken over a person, and I've seen that tongue interpreted as well. And it's a beautiful thing because it's marvelous to see that there's a language that the person who's speaking doesn't understand, and it's not like this other person necessarily has studied this language, and God gives the interpretation, and the interpretation does one thing and one thing alone. It glorifies God. It doesn't draw attention to anybody. It's not a prophetic word. It's not something that's going to happen. It's glorifying God. That's what tongues is. It's a beautiful thing. With many of these gifts, though, it seems to be, with this one as well, that there can be pride. It seems to be, if you look at all those drawbacks, pride is probably on almost every one of them, even with the interpretation. What do you think? Wow, I must be super in tune to God if God spoke to me to interpret somebody, you know, that someone else was sharing. And what is that? That's pride. So we need to guard ourselves of that too. We're constantly at battle with the enemy, aren't we? It's like a boxing match every day. Even with the good things, even with our gifts, the enemy tries to come in and cause pride. We do not want that. The best thing to do to counteract pride, immediately glorify the Lord. If something like that happens and God does give you a tongue to interpret, boom, praise you, God. That way, it's off of you. That is not me, it's you. And trust me, the enemy will try to bring it back to you. Wow, that was pretty cool. You know, you interpreted that tongue today, you know, whatever. Nope. That glory does not belong to me. That belongs to him. So as immediately as it comes in, we point up. Just nope. I'm not going to go there. So that's important for any time anybody pats us on the back, right? Praise God is the best answer. Not thank you. Praise God. Because I've learned if I say thank you, it seems like I'm taking that pat on the back. But if I say praise God, it totally bypassed me. It's just boom. It just doesn't have anything to do with me. It's him. So that should be probably our standard when somebody gives us a pat on the back. Praise God. Praise God. So that's a goodie. Nothing else needs to be said. Well, I want to end by saying that we should each desire these gifts that we've stated today. And if you are uncertain of your gifts, and many of us are, this may be the first time anybody has ever told you about the gifts or encouraged you to seek these gifts on your own. I would highly recommend that you go to the Lord in a time of prayer. I said to the Lord one time, I don't know what I was asking. I was like, give them all to me. I want them all. Give me every gift you can give me. I don't know what I was asking, but hey, we'll see if he manifests those gifts at some point down in my life. But I want them all. Give me all the gifts. I mean, that takes great responsibility. So I'm saying, Lord, give them to me. I want those gifts. I want every single one of them. I want to function, and we'll learn next week, administratively. I want, you know, all these things. I want those gifts too. I want these, but I want those ones we're going to look at next week as well. Give them all to me. I want to be able to function in these gifts, that I can represent you the best that I can. Now, whether he gives them to me or not, I don't know. You know, and some gifts come and go, you know, with the gift of, let's say, faith. You have the gift of faith when you need the gift of faith. It's not like every day I'm like, I have the gift of faith and I exercise my gift every single day. There are certain times that I am scared and I do not exercise that gift. But there's other times God gives you an extra abundance. I mean, we all exercise faith on a daily basis, but the gift of faith is going above and beyond. Like, I'm trusting you, God, for this big, big, big thing. And that doesn't happen every single day. And certain of these gifts, the gifts of healing, that's not like I'm a healer and I'm walking around healing people. No, that's God may, on occasion, allow me the opportunity to pray for somebody in faith, and I, you know, and they may be healed. I don't know. But I wouldn't go around and saying, you know, I perform miracles and I heal and that sort of thing. But I would say that these gifts are to be desired, and you need to seek the Lord diligently for them. Another thing that I wanted to end with here is that you will find, the longer you walk with the Lord, that He reveals your gifts to you very naturally. Just, He reveals the supernatural gifts very naturally. You may be in conversation with somebody, and somebody says, wow, you are always encouraging me. You have the gifts of exhortation. And you're like, oh my goodness, maybe I do. You know, I mean, it's like, sweet. And you're like, and then someone else comes behind him and says, wow, you are so encouraging. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I think God may have given me the gift of exhortation. You know, where I'm encouraging people, or I'm operating in faith, or that you've prayed and somebody actually was healed. Or, you know, so the gifts aren't something that we can necessarily say, I know, because God has revealed that I have certain gifts. But what I have understood is that through the course of my 26 years walking with Jesus, He has revealed different gifts and more gifts to me as I walk with the Lord, as I draw near to the Lord, as I learn more about Him. And then when I exercise those gifts, you know, just like, let's say, running. You know, you go and you're going to start running this year. And you start slow, right? Or walking, let's say. And you start slow and you haven't run or, you know, done walking on a consistent basis in a few years. And so you start slow and you sort of build your stamina and you can go further each time and you feel better and more energized each time. But what if you start strong, like most people do, and you're like, you run for 2 weeks. And then you're like, I'm done running. And you don't run again for 2 years. And then you try it again. And it's like the same thing, like picking it up again. When we exercise our gifts, we grow in our gifts. So if you do know that you have one of these gifts, ask the Lord, Lord, how would you have me use my gift? How would you help me grow in my gift? You know, not everybody can be a Hudson Taylor or a George Mueller. I mean, we can't look at those men and say, I want that faith, and we go to a different country, and we try in our flesh to do it. I mean, this was supernatural faith that they were given, right? So we look at those people, and we admire, and we say, oh, Lord, that we might have the faith of George Mueller or Hudson Taylor or anybody else. But we seek to function in the gifts that God reveals to us the best that we can. So seek Him diligently. If you want these gifts, any of these gifts are available to you for the asking. The question is, are you seeking Him for them? And seek Him diligently for these gifts. If you want the gift of tongues, you don't leave until you have the gift of tongues. I mean, you seek Him diligently. Lord, I want this gift. Give it to me. Please. And help me to use this gift appropriately and for your glory, whatever it is. And God will do that. He is so good to administer His gifts because He wants to be glorified. He wants to be edified. And He wants to use us just like He used the early church. The key, of course, is walking in the Spirit with our gifts and not abusing the gifts, right? We need to be careful that we don't do that. We want this place to be a place where we can no longer be ignorant of the gifts. And now you are informed. So hopefully you're not ignorant. You're informed. And that hopefully you seek the Lord on how you can best use your gifts and that He might give you an opportunity to use them. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for the blessing of the fact that you do give us good gifts, God, that we could function in the body. You are the giver of gifts, God. And so we ask that you would help us, Jesus, to use our gifts in the correct order, done decently and orderly, as you have revealed in Scripture, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bestow new and more gifts upon us, God, that we would be diligent to seek you and to use our gifts for your glory, God, that we would use your gifts to tell others about you, that we would use your gifts to bring healing to others, that we would use these certain gifts, God, to show your love to others, God. So as you reveal these gifts to us, as we take time to seek you this week, this weekend, very diligently, Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would bestow upon each of these ladies what they are desiring to receive, God. If they look at this list and say, I really, really would love the gift of faith, God, would you bestow that gift upon them, God? I ask, God, that you would give them then, in turn, opportunity to use these gifts and to function in them. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we trust you, God, that you indeed are the giver of gifts and that you will be faithful to bestow upon your children good things. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.